Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. Your net control actually for this session is several, and they'll be coming aboard this evening. But my name is Kathy, and my call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening it up this evening. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where it's currently a temperature of 70 degrees, and going to go down to about 64 tonight and a cool start to the day tomorrow. But prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard.
RFJ.
Well, good evening, Mr. RFJ, and I understand you're in a predicament at this point, but welcome aboard.
Thanks, Kathy. Well, I was in a very bad predicament, but I don't know if anybody overheard, but I wanted to let the net know that I am listening and I am in a safe place, actually grabbing a bite to eat, and I've been in communique with the Admiral, so she's not worrying, and it's pretty nasty up here. So thanks for letting me jump in and make sure everybody's on the same page. W4RFJ, sorry I won't be able to participate. I don't have my notes or anything available to me, so I won't be able to. Thanks, Kathy. Sound just as cute as ever.
Well, thank you so much, Roger, but maybe you can jump in if you're able to at least check in and participate and give us your comments. And like you heard me say earlier, I am on Saturday morning heading up into that area up to Michigan where my son said they had 9 inches of snow. Very cold, but the ground wasn't frozen, so possibly it's thawing. But I'm heading from 80 degrees up to some very, very cool temperatures. So be safe on the road, and hopefully we'll hear from you tonight. So with that, is there any birthday stations out there, either last week, tonight, maybe this upcoming week, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy birthday? All right, no birthday stations. That means we're not getting any older. Well, this is a monthly Thursday informational net open forum, or we call it TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise you, if you've been part of this session tonight, you'll most definitely be part of that recording that gets posted on our website. So with that, let me pause a moment and let me just give you a introduction of what's happening tonight. All right, our topic this month is cybersecurity and safe station operations using both digital and RF control. November is National Critical Infrastructure Security and Resilience Month, and October was National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. We'll be joined by you, our South Guard members, and by special guests, N1SEZ, a W4RFJ, if available, KY6Z, and NO70, and all stations checking in with their own experiences and recommendations. But to start things off tonight, and with the cybersecurity TIN, here is KY6Z with a brief administrative reminder, and to begin our topic tonight. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Hopefully you'll have some fun tonight. So you can come aboard.
Okay. Thank you very much, pretty lady. Good evening, everybody. Gordon here, KY6V, and Roger, keep it in the middle of the road up there, Tiger. On this cybersecurity and critical infrastructure station operation, TIN, boy, that's a mouthful. We will be discussing technical and computer security issues, and this will be done under an educational activity, if you will. Any trademarks or copyrights names will remain the property of the original owner, and we are used here only in the context of the educational activity. So while I have it here, the purpose of this TIN is to discuss the computer security, the good, the bad, and indifferent, and even the unfortunate. So sit down and participate with us. We will be looking at ways of protecting your home and office equipment. We will examine current threats, malware, virus, personal information, theft, ransomware, spam, and best practices for your stations and personal communication safety. We will also look at our place as radio operators in the national and international communities to understand our role as radio operators in a critical infrastructure. Let me reset the timers here for a moment. So here is a quick list of topics that we're going to be covering this evening on the TIN. Number one, station operation safety, and that's both digital and RF. Two, operator safety. Three, your part in protecting critical infrastructure. Four, before you connect a new computer to the internet, take these important steps. Five, properly reuse, recycle, or dispose of your used and outdated electronic devices to protect your personal information and reduce your environmental impact. And six, at the end of this net, we will list the six types of cyber attacks to protect against here in this year of 2018, at least those that we know of at the moment. So with that said and done, I'm going to turn it over for starters here to NO70, Mr. Nottingham Sherwood Forest. Good evening, George, and thank you, sir, from KY6V. Over.
KY6V and the South Corridor's November 2018 TIN. Boy, both the years and the months are ticking away, aren't they? This is NO70, Nancy Ocean 7 Ocean in Nottingham, Maryland. And I have to say that I am filling in for Chief W4FJ right here because, he, as we heard, he's rather stuck in traffic. But once again, he has demonstrated tonight's topic by keeping himself as the operator and his station in the form of his mobile conveyance that he's in, safe and sound. And he's also making sure that he keeps himself properly fit so he can drive safely and be awake during driving. So congratulations, Chief, on a job well done. Let me say that I am grateful for and looking forward to the feedback of all of our stations that are joining us tonight as well. Glad that you are here to be with us. All right, so let's go on with the rest of tonight's TIN. As Gordon mentioned, October was National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. As we're all aware, computer hackers continue to improve their abilities to hack our computers, steal our personal information, lock our computers to demand money in the form of ransomware, and interfere with operations of utilities, manufacturing, communications, and society in general. It's now time to implement some lessons learned. Now, I'd like to call your attention to the scarsvoip.com website. and click on the live link on the left-hand side. And there are some questions out there which we hope that you will answer when you do come aboard with a check-in. Let me reset. So we're going to now take time to implement some lessons learned, and let's start by hearing from our membership and open it up for any check-ins for tonight's TIN. Any stations that would like to come aboard for a check-in, and any comments about what you've done to reduce cybersecurity threats at your station, please call now. This is NO70.
Hey, Jay.
Romeo Fox Juliet.
That recognizes K2HA and W4RFJ. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that. And I saw another station earlier, one of our other NCSs. I hope he can come make it back in. I don't see him on the list. Maybe we'll hear from him later, too. He did last month's TIN, and we'll look forward to hearing from him as well. So, K2HA, thank you, Fred. Good evening. And, yes, you've definitely been looking at computer security from what I've seen in some emails. And congratulations, K2HA, and I'll send that over.
Okay, very good, George. This is Fred, K2HA, the happy amateur, and I'm going to be staying with you tonight instead of going off to choir practice because it was canceled. Too icy a road condition. So we're going to have an extra rehearsal after we sing on Sunday. So, computer security, let me reset. Computer security is only as good as those people who are keeping up with what's going on. I went to a hacking conference a couple years ago in downtown Philly and went to a presentation on security, and basically the person who knew how to hack very well said there's nothing you can do. If somebody targets you, sooner or later they're going to get in. But so I try to keep a low profile and on the internet, make sure I have a disk backup in case something crashes or somebody puts some ransomware on, and I run security software. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA, and I hope Roger doesn't tell us a whopper because he's at the Burger King. This is Fred, K2HA.
Oh, there's some good meat behind those comments. Thank you, Fred. Yes, and all good points about computer security, and we're going to be looking a little bit more thoroughly at those tonight as well, so I'm sure you'll have some other comments. So W4RFJ, let's hear from you, NO70, over.
All right. Thanks, George. This is W4RFJ, located at one of the local EK establishments. Sorry, a little bit of indigestion there. But anyway, a friend of mine once told me, he's also a fellow ham, and I think Fred knows him, W3JG, Jim, is always told me, if you want the best internet security you can get, disconnect your network from the internet. There you go. But that's kind of counterproductive when you're trying to do digital modes and some of this stuff that we do with amateur radio. So I have a firewall that I put together, and I run intrusion detection software and antivirus software, etc., etc., etc. But I do that at the door of my network. So I hope that helps, George. Top of the evening to everybody. I finished my double beef whopper with cheese, no pickle, heavy onion, and I'm probably going to be getting back in the car here soon. So back over to you, George, NO70, and the net, W4RFJ.
W4RFJ, NO70. I'm just glad that you're safe and sound. All right. And by the way, N1SEZ is going to have some additional thoughts regarding what you just said, both from a medical perspective and from ISP firewall perspectives, in just about one page of our notes. So stay tuned for that. He's got some really good information coming up. Are there any other stations who would like to check in and say hello for our November 2018 TIN on Computer Security and Critical Infrastructure? Please call now. This is NL7O. Over. Well, I'm seeing a Kara. Let me try to release again. All right. Well, nothing heard. So thank you, Fred and Chief, for getting us started down the road. Yes, it's time to implement some lessons learned strategy given the increased hacking activity that both our stations so eloquently put forth before us. So here are some steps that we can take now in the time of this increased risk and challenge from people who are trying to interrupt our station and computer operations. Number one, you can reduce threats from emails and unknown senders and attachments, obviously by isolating them, using spam filters, deleting them without them being read, and avoid some drive-by websites. We'll come back to more of those later in the program. Let me reset. Also, it's important that each of us be aware of how to recognize and prevent social engineering attacks where you or a trusted associate are tricked into giving away personal information and money. We've all had phone calls at night, and they try to make it sound like it's someone you do business with or someone you know. And the important thing is to be really sure who you are talking with, either over the air or via other means of communication, written or verbal. Thirdly, you can reduce your own station's computer and privacy breaches. You can prevent spread of malware and viruses to other computers farther down the line, even if your own computer is not showing any signs of infection. Let me reset. Just like a human virus can be carried by a carrier, where the carrier has no signs of the disease that they are a carrier of, but people farther down the line then pick up that infection, computers share that same thing. There can be a computer that is a carrier with no signs of a virus, and if the firewall or virus detector does not show, if you don't have one installed, then your computer can infect other computers farther down the line that you communicate with. That may even include where you go and visit a website called a drive-by website, where just by visiting the website that you got in a link, that website downloaded malware onto your computer with the object of not showing the infection on your computer so that the infection may be spread to more computers farther down the line on the receiving end from any of your communications from your own equipment, computer, digital, or RF sources. Let me reset. Also, social media websites have recently demonstrated that long-standing privacy practices on their websites were not carefully planned out for the future. And these websites, social media websites, have divulged private information without the prior knowledge and consent of their subscribers. Some of these social media websites have had to testify in courts and before American and European regulatory authorities. That's why so many European websites have had to change their website security, and those changes many times have had to be applied to American websites, even though it's not required by American law because it's of the international nature of the World Wide Web, and you've, I'm sure, have seen the news stories about the social media websites resetting. As if our knees were not shaking enough, commercial website compromises have also resulted in valuable financial personal data being divulged, with real money lost by innocent parties, while credit card companies had to reimburse cardholders for unauthorized credit card charges, and then those expenses are passed on to the consumer in the form of future higher product costs and higher credit card interest rates. Now, causes of these financial damages can include compromises of credit card data, compromises of your personal identifying information, or PII, compromise of your account numbers because there's malware or viruses on your computer that you're not aware of, and that others may then be infected on their computers farther down the line via digital or RF means, and those account numbers can be divulged. Physical street addresses of homes, employers, and small business owners have been released, and we've even seen that with some political figures in the news recently. And even email addresses can be compromised that you also may use as your authentication or login names on some of your websites that you log into, resetting. And before I turn it over to N1SEZ in just about 30 seconds, let me conclude my thoughts regarding the October National Security Awareness Month and being aware of the risk I just outlined for you. An example of a vendor possibly unknowingly working with scammers was seen recently when MoneyGram assisted scammers who persuaded elderly and impoverished victims to wire them money. MoneyGram has agreed with the Federal Trade Commission to pay a penalty of $125 million to settle charges that the money transfer company failed to take adequate measures to prevent fraudulent money transfers. So, yes, money does flow where it shouldn't, and sometimes out of your account, which is why we need to be aware of good computer security. And, of course, if you want to have more ham equipment, you need to hold on to your money, right? What do you think, Paul? Paul, I'll let you canvas for check-ins and continue with the topic. Let me welcome aboard to the TIN, Paul N1SEZ. N1SEZ, over to you, N070.
Well, thank you, George. November 1, Sierra Echo Zulu here in Danbury, Connecticut. It's a cold night. It's snowing like crazy. Last I looked, it looked like we had maybe 4 to 5 inches, and it was still coming down. Fortunately, working at the same place that I have for as long as I have, as soon as the flurry started, I came home. So car's in the garage, and everything is ship-shape here, at least for now. So I'd like to throw it out there for anybody who would like to join us, and any comments on any of the material covered so far, please call N1SEZ, and we'll get you in here.
Net Control, this is Kilo Bravo 3, Juliet Uniform Foxtrot, Charlie from the Poconos. And I just joined in. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay, thank you for that, Charlie. Anybody else like to come in at this moment? All right, Charlie, thank you for the check-in. And if you have no comments, since you haven't heard anything, what's the weather like up in the Poconos? What are you getting?
Well, funny you should ask. Hi. It's smoking. That's what I call it. From the root word snowflake. Yes, it's smoking here. First time this year. And I finally got the furnace working. Just in the nick of time. Pretty soon it'll be Saint Nick of Time, huh? Yeah, it's one of them trailer furnaces. Funny, temperamental kind of animal. Anyway, he's working, and I got my cup of potty brewing here. I'm going to have a cup of hot cup, or a cup of cuppy. I'm not dyslexic, it's just the way I talk. Okay, I'll take answer C if there was a question. KB3JUS.
Okay, Charlie, very good. And as a friend of mine frequently says, in this case, regarding your furnace and getting it to work tonight of all nights, timing is everything. All right, we'll break with you, Charlie. You can come back later if you like, and let me carry on with the net here. Okay, folks, so other personal risks that you can run into are medical personal information compromise from use of your physician's health websites. Also, prescription drug insurance websites and Medicare and Medicaid information can incur significant costs for the computer user. Personal estates, risks, and financial losses are at risk from a compromise of medical website and personal private information. Specifically, these risks are risks to future medical care, as in Medicare, risks to current medical care, unauthorized medical charges and financial liability affecting station upkeep and operations. And an example is the theft of data of 75,000 users in the healthcare.gov FFE breach, which affected quite a large swath of people. Let me drop it for the moment. One of the points of risk for other computer users you contact from your computer is your own computer use if you do not have a virus checker and firewall installed and up to date. You may not think you need a virus checker or a firewall, but what about your email recipients who receive your emails, which may contain malware unbeknownst to you, where you're just the carrier, just like a medical virus? Not having a current virus checker, firewall, and updated router firmware can and will eventually lead to a compromise of financial and banking personal information. An out-of-date computer firewall and security program leads to prying eyes looking for your own computer information and bank and credit card account information. Let me drop it. So some of the things you need to be aware of are compromises in websites' visited logs, VPN engines installed or in use, temporary URLs available free of charge instead of paid service that is not so easily compromised, and you can also prevent unauthorized ISP service usage that could lead to false criminal charges against you. Such as in the case where child pornography or dark websites can be found on your computer and when you didn't use them for these activities. ISP activity logs. Net neutrality rules demonstrate the value of removing ISPs from logging activity other than data quantity use. ISPs and social media may resist requests for your activities without adequate wiretapping justification. However, they are legally prohibited from making you aware that you are being monitored by any one of hundreds of government agencies. Government always has different rules for themselves. If you think no one is watching you, consider GM, as in General Motors, conducted a 3-month test using in-car Wi-Fi tracking the habits of drivers. The goal was to explore whether there's a relationship between what the drivers listen to and what they buy. A GM spokesman also tells the Detroit Free Press that data from this study could also help GM develop a better way to measure radio listenership, something advertisers would love to get their hands on, so they could target their ads. While you can opt out now, are there any guarantees long-term? Consider the recent scandals surrounding social media and topic search websites. If you're doing anything illegal, you are not practicing good and legal radio practice, and you need to change your ways and operational practice. I'll drop it once more. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to throw it back over to George, N070. And George, if you want to troll for some check-ins, by all means, take it away.
M1SEZ in the South Cars, November 2018 TIN on computer security, critical infrastructure, good operator practice, and protecting information. N070. Thank you, Paul. Very good summary. It's got me encouraged to make sure I'm being more careful about things. Has anyone want to do a check-in or recheck? Have you had any experiences with any of this? Do you have any friends that have had experiences with this where your information, say on social media, was compromised and you learned about it later after the fact? Any comments? Please call now. This is NO70. Over.
Sierra Echo Zulu.
Hey, Jay.
That recognizes Sarah Kozulu and Hotel Alpha. Thank you, gentlemen. Paul, NYSEZ, N070, over to you.
Okay, George, thank you very much. Well, knock on wood, I've been fairly lucky so far. For the longest time, I've had Macintosh computers, and I think for a certain amount of years, Macs were almost free of these kinds of worries, but the times they are changing, and you definitely have issues if you're not taking care of your security systems. But one of the points that was brought up earlier is the ability for you having a virus on your computer and not being aware of it at all, and sending it to other people's computers via email. And I have seen these types of things before in the past, where I will like receive an email from an ex-girlfriend who I haven't seen for for like, you know, 8 years or something, and you'd be looking at this and said, why would she be sending me this? And then as you look at the email a little bit more, scrutinize it a little bit better, you start seeing things that just don't seem to make sense. And you realize that this is a case where a virus has hacked into that person's email list, their personal contacts list, and is sending out emails off of that list. So that's how these things work lots of times. Let me drop in a moment. And the other thing that it's important to remember is that when you get an email that has attachments to it, think before you click. You know, do I know this person? And even if the address is from somebody you know, double check. Make sure you're absolutely certain, even to the point if you need to call this person up and say, hey, did you send me this? Because generally speaking, simply opening up an email will not infect your computer with a virus. Where you get into trouble is when you start clicking on links, and that's where you have no idea what you've unleashed when you do that. So always think before you click. If something looks fishy, like you're getting something from Amazon, but it doesn't look like the normal things you get from Amazon, hover your cursor with your mouse over where it says from Amazon, and you'll see the actual address that this is coming to you from. There's all kinds of things that you need to be aware of and be extremely careful about when dealing with email, because that is the entryway for a lot of these types of problems that that we have to deal with. Back to you, George, N070 from N1SEZ.
Well, Paul, thank you for the summary of your experience on that, and those are all very good points. That spoofing where they try to convince you that they're someone you know is an ever-increasing problem now, it seems. And for more comments, Fred said that he had some comments. Let's go to him, K2HA, N070, over.
Okay, thank you, George. One of the things that I do is when I sign up for an account at a bank, I tell them that I want to be able to read my my balance off the internet, but I don't want to have the ability to move money around or pay bills. I know a lot of people use their banks for paying bills. However, be interesting how many people end up paying other people's bills because their bank account's been hacked. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
Well, thank you, Fred. And in a couple minutes, we're going to be coming up to how these same threats can be applied to our station operations and our station RF and digital communications equipment like the platforms that we're using tonight with Echo, Link, and All-Star. So we're coming up to that. All right. Well, with that, let's move on to the next topic. And since Chief is not available for to with his the script is not available to Chief tonight. Let me put it, that's the way it should be saying it. Let me fill in for him. Let me reset. Now, all of the South Car's members and visitors. November is National Critical Infrastructure Security and Resilience Month, where this follows after October's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Everyone is involved in the mission to protect computer information and national infrastructure. We are helm operators and proud of it, I'm sure, each and every one of us. We worked hard to get here, we worked hard to stay here, and we worked hard to keep the justification for our frequency allocations. That means that we need to prove our value as members of society, and you can help everyone by using cybersecurity best practices, and if you do have a cybersecurity incident or phishing attempt, you can report these with online forms very easily, and I'll be happy if you want to send an email in to provide that those links to you. Now, if you do identify any malware located on your computer unexpectedly, you may also submit the malware for review by the cybersecurity government agencies that are responsible for protecting us. Let me reset. So, keeping your station's digital and RF systems, which are also many times run by computer chips, keeping your system secured and your reporting station operation and computer threats, if they occur at your station, can help the NCCIC, or National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center, to identify cyber threats and inform the critical infrastructure community, which involves not only helm operators, but of course everyone involved nationwide in protecting our cybersecurity. Resetting. Now, the NCCIC encourages critical infrastructure owners and operators, of which we as ham radio operators may consider us in our role of emergency and backup, even though it may be a backup last resort. The NCCIC encourages owners and operators to review the Department of Homeland Security Critical Infrastructure Resource page for information on available resources and training, and to visit the Cyber Community Voluntary Program page. And we'll be providing more information about that later time. And that will give you more information on how to support our infrastructure. So, with that being said, we're going to then move on next to more station-related. We've been talking about more computer, but we're now going to move on to more station-related and ISP-related risks and resolutions. And to kick that effort off and also check for more check-ins, we're going to go to none other than our someone who we know very well, KY6V. Gordon, good evening, sir. Thank you for being here. KY6V on the November 2018 Computer Security TIN, NO70. Over.
Well, thank you very much, George. KY6V here. Before I get into the subject you'd like me to cover, I wanted to mention something about Paul's comments on a look before you click on your email. You know, for the last number of years, there's been some terrific intrusion by these hackers into the email systems. I think it's got a little better recently. At least I'm not seeing as much of it. And that's probably because the mail servers are tightening up their bootstraps a little bit on security. But they used to go in, and I'm thinking of days of AOL was hit very hard, Netscape was hit very hard, and what the hackers would do is they'd go in and break your password so they could take over your email account. okay? And then once they did that, they found out who you were sending emails to, and they would turn around and send a false email to those people under your name, under your email address. And so when it got to you, you would think, well, you know, here it is. It's coming from Paul, N1SEZ. And he's saying to me, I'm stuck in the Heathrow Airport in England. I have been robbed. My wallet was taken. My password was taken. And I need some money. Can you forward it to such and such and such and such? And you get the picture? So look before you click. Let me buy a nickel here for a moment and get the timers recharged. Talking about using our radio and being emergency services and so on, you know, our stations have been proven as an emergency resource that is called upon whenever all other infrastructure resources are exhausted or fail. And it's important that we know how critical it is for our amateur stations to be ready and computer security savvy. There are so few of us compared to the size of the U.S. population. And because we have an FCC mandate to participate in public service as a way to justify our frequency allocations, let's look at how the source of resources are really used. Let me buy a nickel. As of March of this year, 2018, there were 749,711 licensed amateurs in the U.S., with a population of 328,968,242 as of November 10th, 2018. Now, this means that amateurs are less than 1% of the population. If you want to run the math on it, it comes out to 0.0023. We are limited, exhaustible, and sometimes treasured resources of amateur society who make a direct impact on the nation's secure infrastructure. A scrolling population clock, incidentally, is available from the Census Bureau at census.gov, and that's a pop clock if you're interested in getting more information in that area. We want to say that food and shelter are critical to preservation of society and to having a working emergency support station according to good and best practices. And this includes, you know, attacks on the food infrastructure are rarely publicly recognized. However, they are very real. Large-scale farming operations have replaced small farms and are the object of cyber attacks aimed at disrupting the food supply, which can then disrupt your station's operational integrity. So think about all of that. Let me buy one more nickel here. I want to talk about DHS, and that's the Department of Homeland Security, has released a report to address cyber security threats to new precision agricultural technologies used in crop and livestock production. Precision agriculture employs a variety of embedded and connected technologies to generate data used to enhance the agricultural and livestock management. As adoption of precision agricultural technology has increased, the vulnerabilities and cyber threat issues have emerged, and the attacker could exploit precision architecture vulnerabilities to access sensitive data, steal resources, and destroy equipment. Now, we're not trying to get your knees knocking here, ladies and gentlemen. We're just saying, hey, look at reality and see what you can do about it. At this point, NO70 has got more data to give to you. NO70 from KY6V, and you might want to pick up some stations, George, over.
KY6V in the South Cars, November 2018 TIN, NO70. I certainly will ask for check-ins. And let me just underscore what Gordon has said. You know, we can focus too much on the risks, but if we don't recognize any risks at all, we are at risk there. We've all seen the where the different nations, Korea, Russia, America, have all engaged in some type of cyber warfare with each other, whether it be energy plants, refining, ore refining plants, radioactive material refining plants, electrical plants, generating stations. These robotic malware and botware are very real. All right, so let me now open it up for any comments on what Gordon had to say or any other check-ins or rechecks. Please call now. This is the South Coast TAN. This is NO70. Please call. All right, well, nothing heard. Well, let's keep on along the way. We still have a lot to cover here. We're now going to begin looking at how modern radio operation using computer-based controls is affected by contemporary security risks. We're all aware that our communications equipment of today compared to 15, 30 years ago is much more computerized, of course. Radio operation and computer-related cybersecurity is increasingly affected by contemporary security risks that have not previously been recognized as safety concerns. Increased digital usage results in additional cybersecurity risks to digital methods like Echolink that we're using now, AllStar that we're attached to, and other digital and RF equipment resetting. As you may recall, each of our nets on South Cars is prefaced with the fact that we follow FCC rules and regulations and good amateur practice. So good and best practices for amateur operation must include a modern knowledge of RF regulations as well as computer technology. We need to be knowledgeable in both RF and digital operations because they can affect each other's best practices. For example, a cybersecurity incident can result in unneeded and excessive RF radiation exposure, which of course we don't want to have happen. Digital and international third-party RF operations rules still apply even as we use digital methods like Echolink that do connect to links and repeaters in foreign countries. You know, we have to be careful that we are respecting our license restrictions regarding communication with other countries as well. And Echolink and digital methods have made the world a lot smaller for us. Resetting. So this means that as you use your computer or your RF with this computer, your RF transmitter, like a transceiver or an HF or something, and you're using the computer chip inside that transceiver or transmitter, to protect your station license, it is imperative that you follow licensing regulations, that you look up unknown stations before contacting them using cyberlinked means to confirm that the contact is legal using digital means, no unauthorized country list, for example. It's important that you know how to tell the difference in license classes in different countries that you may contact, and that you know how to use the FCC ULS Universal Licensing System to look up call signs, as well as third-party websites that will give you call sign information. For good amateur practice on both RF and digital means, it's important that operators know the United States Class A, B, and C call sign structure. If you try to contact or call a U.S. call sign, for example, that has more than one number in the call sign, I'm going to ask you, is that a legal station? If it has more than one number in the U.S., all amateur call signs only have one number. They may have more than one letter, but there's only one number, and if you hear someone using a call sign with two or more numbers, you are attempting an illegal contact using cyber means, and that can put your license at risk, and we lose another resource of our already limited radio operators. For example, let me reset, and I'm going to use myself as an example here, with a call sign like N070. If you try to call N070 with N070, that's three numbers, so I can't enter because that's not a legal call sign. Now, N070, which is two letters, one number and one letter, then I can then answer and engage in good amateur practice and be legal in my answer to your call. Otherwise, I will have violated FCC regulations by not following good amateur practice and will have demonstrated for everyone that I had neglected to stay current with changes in FCC regulations. And I think all of us want to try to be better operators than breaking FCC rules. Let me reset. Let me mention that equipment operations changes with changing technology and innovation have created changes in transmitter operations. We can make fewer RF adjustments because the limits have been computerized, and that helps keep our signals in accordance with the equipment capabilities and legal operation resetting. Also, if we're going to be using RF equipment that's computer chip controlled, more digital adjustments are needed for operations because we have a wider choice of transmission modes, both analog and digital, that must be maintained. We've seen all these new emission designations come about. Also, a poor signal resulting from a malware or virus infection in your transceiver chip do become the responsibility of the licensee and do have an effect on your license and operation. So, in conclusion, good of this section, good and legal operations of transceivers, repeaters, and even linked remote RF equipment become possible only when good digital operation practices are observed in support of good RF operations. Let me reset. So let me open it up now to anyone who might have any comments or anyone that would like to do a check-in or do a recheck. Please call now. This is N070. Over. All right, well, nothing heard. We're having talked now about station and equipment security. Paul is going to remind us of something equally important. Personal security, physical risks to us as operators. We may not be as famous as network news commentators or famous actors or whatever, but you know, there are people who may know you to be a ham operator and may not be too sympathetic to that, and there are people that are very sympathetic to ham operators. Let's have Paul take a look at personal risks and other physical risks. So, Paul, let me turn it over to you and let you fill in the blanks here. N1ACZ, N070. Over.
Okay, George, thank you very much. N1SEZ here in snowy Danbury, Connecticut. Snowberry. I guess you could call us Snowberry tonight. All right, physical risks to your station operations as part of the nation's critical infrastructure include personal safety, fire safety. To promote your station's fire safety, consider how important and urgent it is to do the following. Check that you have an extinguisher rated for electrical fires. If you turn on an oven or coffee maker, turn on the kitchen overhead light as a reminder that these things are running and you might need to turn them off at the end of station operations. Review your station power wiring for adequate fusing and proper gauge of AC and DC wiring. It's something we've all learned in getting our licenses, that depending on the amount of current going through your wires, you need to make sure you're using the right diameter of conductor. Install video monitoring. A Raspberry Pi camera setup can be an inexpensive alternative to commercial video security installations. Clean out your laundry dryer lint filter every load. A dryer vent fire can cost you your home, and even worse, your radio equipment. Little joke there, folks. If you have a fireplace, which I've got a wood stove running right now, check for the next chimney sweep schedule. I do it once a year. Do you know that the fire? Do you know where the fire exits are at work, at home, at your shack? Do you have an alternative escape path mapped out? Let me drop it. We need to keep all of our radio operations as functioning part of this critical infrastructure. And at this point, let me see if we got any check-ins who would like to come in. Anyone, anywhere, please call now. This is N1SEZ, and this is the SCARS TIN.
NO's having a comment.
George, pick it up.
Thank you, Paul. Well, one of the things that I do, too, when traveling or visiting, whether it be a motel or even a restaurant, like Chief was at earlier tonight, where are the fire exits? You know, if anything happens, can I even get out the back door through the kitchen if the front door is blocked in case of an emergency? Also, I will say that I do have video monitoring in the shack here, motion detected, so that if I go out for a walk in the forest here or close by, or am out of the shack for a while, or if I have visitors unrelated to shack operations, and I do have to go, even though I have everything powered down where they cannot accidentally transmit, you know, the video monitoring lets me know what's happening if I have to leave the room for even a moment, which I usually don't do, but the video monitoring is here. So I'm happy to report that that's in place at the station here. Back to you, Paul, N1SEZ, NO70.
Okay, George, that's some good tips there, and yes, especially when you are someplace you're not familiar with. I always do that. I always make sure I know where the alternate ways out of this space is, that in case you may need to use it. And the time to check and become familiar with it is before there's an incident requiring you to take that kind of action. Anybody else would like to check in here before we continue?
H.A.
Well, yeah.
H.A., Fred, welcome back, N1SEZ.
Yeah, it's protect oneself from fire. One also might want to make sure that the circuits going to the ham shack are not overloaded. A lot of ham equipment, especially if you're running on HF and on the upper bands and Echolink and computers, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of plugs in the wall. Sometimes it's better to have at least two circuits coming into the ham shack, if not three. Spread the wealth around and don't overload them, and don't overload the ups units. If you have too much plugged into them, they don't work too well either. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
Yep, Fred, always all very good points. I think a lot of people figure, well, I'm not packing heat, I'm not running a lot of power with an amplifier, so I'm not pulling a lot of current, but depending on where you live, how old the house is, what kind of service you have, and nowadays when we're using more and more electronic devices, all of which have to be plugged in somewhere, we could very easily be pushing the limit on circuits and not even really being aware of it. Thank you for that, Fred. Anybody else before we continue? This is the SCARS TIN And this is M1SEZ. Anybody else? Okay, nothing heard. For more information on previously unrecognized station safety threats that have recently emerged, NO70 George has a few for you to consider. George, pick it up, please.
Well, thank you, Paul. And I see in the text box that Chief has made it home. I'm trying to politely cajole him into staying with us, and I think we may have double with him. Chief, were you trying to check in? W4FJ, NO70. Well, I guess he is really tired from the trip, and that's totally understandable. Very good. So I will then continue with more thoughts on station safety. Now, network, this is one of those things where it's uncomfortable to talk about, but with 0.23% of us as a population, and for personal safety, this is not just for ham operators. This is, regrettably, nowadays becoming more and more of a safety issue for everyone. So I'm going to dig into this, and hopefully you'll be able to take the balanced perspective with it. You know, station safety includes operators as well as stations. And when it includes operators, you're dealing with human beings, and humans do go out and about and have this to take care of and have shopping to do and have school to go to and have commitments to keep and meetings to take care of where, you know, it's whether it be community meetings, civic meetings, school meetings, whatever it might be. Okay, so that being said, let me reset and go down a tough list here. Let me reset. So my question to you, as a human being who we care a lot about because you're part of South Cars, when you go out, are you aware of and sensitive to safety risks that come from active intrusions? Have you prepared for active intrusions? For example, an active intruder, someone coming to your door or intercepting you as you walk to your car. If you're at a library or school, have you thought about what you would do in case of an active shooting situation? And I hate to bring that up, but it is, if you look at the frequency, it's almost like every other day, it seems like now in the newspaper that we're seeing this. Let's look at passive or known intruders. You may have a visitor to the shack who really, really likes radio, and when they're not looking, activate your push-to-talk. Have you thought about proper supervision of your transmit circuits while still maintaining people's interest in joining a hobby? I'd like to remind you that the station operator is responsible for station identification and operations, no matter who calls the transmission. Unattended operation without a control operator is a violation of FCC rules. Let me reset. Now, as of a couple years ago, I never would have thought that in Maryland I would have been talking about earthquake safety as a part of safe station operations. We now know that the National Cathedral and parts of Maryland have had parts of the building, even the Washington Monument, had a crack in it from an earthquake centered over in central western Virginia, state of Virginia. So have you thought about earthquake safety? Have you earthquake-proofed your station operations? Do you have heavy books overhead and lighter books down below? Can you rearrange your bookshelves so that in case of an earthquake, you won't be injured by books or other equipment falling off of shelves? So that looks at earthquake safety and falling item safety. Do you have active homeowners or renters or flood insurance to preserve your financial readiness for future station operations? Let me reset. We know that our hobby can be an expensive hobby. It can be inexpensive, but it does take some financial expense to keep our stations running. And that means that it may be prudent to have, in case of theft or damage, homeowners, renters, or flood insurance as well. Consider all of the recent water damage that you've seen occurring in the southeast, in Georgia, Florida, New Carolinas, and Virginia. Think about Hurricane Sandy over in New York a little bit back. So station safety includes being aware of these modern risks as our climate and our society changes. Okay, I don't want to make it too, scare you with this, but I do want you to be safe and self-aware when you're out traveling, which is good advice for any travelers. That being said, I will open it up for any comments or questions, or if you tell me that I just scared you too much and made your knees knock, tell me now so I can apologize to you. Please call in 070. Over. Well, I'm very grateful that we were able to have a very mature discussion about these risks to station and personal safety. Thank you. All right, looking at more operational issues and concerns and suggestions and recommendations, we're going to go back to Paul in when SEZ. Over to you, Paul.
Thank you, George. Now, folks, it's important that you, as part of good radio practice and safe station operations, schedule time each month or quarter to take the following basic cybersecurity steps at a minimum for your station. First, change passwords from defaults and replace admin accounts with user-level accounts. Use 2FA, two-factor authentication, where text or email is received with a second login password. When my bank started using these, I thought it was a bit of an annoying, unnecessary step, but I've gotten used to it, and it does make me feel better. It is much more secure. If you're logging into a site that is used to seeing you log in from a different machine, you receive a text message or an email requiring you to hit that link and confirm that you were requesting that login. Let me drop it. Have alternate login methods without passwords if available. Make regular, reliable, three-generation backups and store them offline, online, and alternate equipment such as Raspberry Pi and media sticks, good places to keep your backups. Before you connect a new transmitter, digital or RF controlled, or computer to the internet, consider taking the following steps. Secure your router. When you connect a computer to the internet, it's also connected literally to millions of other computers. Your router connection could allow attackers to access your computer. Although cable modems, digital subscribers, DSL lines, and Internet Service Providers, or ISPs, have some level of security monitoring, it's crucial to secure your router. Enable and configure your firewall. A firewall is a device that controls the flow of information between your computer and the Internet. Most modern operating systems, or OSs, include a software firewall. Also, the majority of home routers also have a built-in firewall. Take the time to learn how to enable your firewall, and most importantly, configure the security settings to work with your operating system firewall. Set a strong password to protect your firewall against unwanted changes. Install and use antivirus software. Installing an antivirus software program and keeping it up to date is a critical step in protecting your computer. Antivirus software uses patterns called signatures provided by software vendors to identify malware, and these signatures are frequently updated by antivirus vendors. Be sure your virus definition is up to date every few days, and always install software from a reputable source, such as the vendor's website. The antivirus software, you get it, you put it on your computer, it's great. If you don't continuously update it, it's useless, because more and more viruses are coming out almost on a daily basis. and the software needs to be updated to be able to look, know what to look for. And the other thing is, I was going to say something else. Oh, yes, let me drop in a moment. And installing from a reliable source. There's plenty of times you might be looking for, say, you need to update your firmware on some piece of electrical equipment that you have, and you do a Google search looking for firmware updates, and you'll see all kinds of hits for all kinds of different websites that are offering this firmware update to you. Go to the one from the manufacturer that you know whose website this is and what it is that you're downloading. Otherwise, you're just asking for trouble. Okay, remove unnecessary software. Intruders can attack your computer by exploiting software vulnerabilities. So the fewer software programs you have installed, the fewer avenues there are for a potential attack. If you don't know what a software program does on your computer or RF control circuit, research the program to determine whether or not the program is necessary and to know how it affects your station operation. Remove any software you feel isn't necessary after confirming that it is safe to remove. Locate the installation media, for example a CD, for any software in case you need to reinstall it. Backup important files and data before removing unnecessary software to prevent accidental removal of programs that turn out to be essential to your operating system. Let me drop it. Okay. Anybody have any questions or any check-ins at this moment? This is N1SCZ for the SCARS TIN. Okay, hearing nothing, KY6V now has some tips about what to do once your complete software suite has been installed. Gordon, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. KY6V here, and boy, that was some good information that you just passed. And guys and gals, we want to take it just a little further, and that is, it's important that once you your transmitter or digital control software has been installed, you must take these critical infrastructure steps. Now think about this, please. You want to think about modifying the unnecessary default features and disable or customize those you don't need or don't plan on using. As with removing unnecessary software, be sure to research the features before modifying or disabling them. You might get into trouble downstream. This keeps hackers from the ability of using some of these dangling participles, if I can put it in that frame. Operate under the principle of least privilege. Use a restricted account, not the admin account. Let me read that one again. Use a restricted account, not the admin account, for your station operations. Only log in with an administrative account, which has full operating privileges on the system, when you need to install or remove software or change your computer system settings. Now, if you sit back and think about that for a moment, what it's telling you is that most of these hackers, in fact, all of these hackers know that the admin sign-in is the place to go to get the keys to the bank. So you take it one step removed, and they've got to scratch a little harder. Secure your web browser is the next item I want to mention. When you first install a web browser, it is a critical step that you will need to adjust your browser's security settings manually. Now, this step reduces attacks that take advantage of unsecured web browsers, so please think about that as well. Apply software updates and enable automatic updates, very important. Most software vendors release updates to patch or fix vulnerabilities, flaws or weaknesses, bugs, that intruders can exploit to attack your computer and compromise your station operation. Enable automatic updates. Only download software updates directly from the vendor's website. Paul was just mentioning that. From a reputable source or through automatic updates. Let me recharge the timers here for a moment.
This is NO70. I believe that Gordon was going to say to recommend enable automatic updates. Only download software updates directly from the vendor's website from a reputable source or through automatic updates. KY6V, item 10, NO70. Thank you, sir.
I'll have to ask you what I said. I thought that's what I covered. Thank you, George. Okay. Don't allow anyone to insert or use their own USB drives on your computer system, guys and gals, especially those connected to a radio transmitter control circuit. Unknown USB drives pose a significant and intentional cybersecurity threat to systems and have been weaponized to destruct organizations and core services such as those offered by water, energy, and communication utilities. So be wise in that department. Your station is part of the communication critical infrastructure. Last but not least, disposing of old equipment. When disposing of old equipment, back up the data on the old equipment and thoroughly delete it with multiple swipes, or scrubs as they're called. Then delete data after backing up the system. Next, overwrite media tracks and memory locations with multiple wipes. Finally, and physically, put a sledgehammer to it, guys and gals. Destroy the equipment or use a reliable electronic recycling service. Lots to think about. Lots to do. You want to have fun. You want to enjoy what you're doing. Please do it in a safe manner. NO70 has some further recommendations. KY6V. Go ahead, George.
Well, thank you, Gordon. And, you know, the other thought, too, we've been talking about computers here, but keep in mind that your transceiver computer chip, you're probably hanging a cable from your transceiver to your computer. If your computer has a virus on it, could a hacker have written software of viruses that would go from your computer to your transceiver computer chip and cause unexpected operations in violation of regulations? That is certainly a risk as well. All right, so let me open it up for any check-ins or rechecks before I proceed. And we're coming pretty close to the end here. We've got a few more thoughts that are very important. I hope we can get to, but we're getting very close to the end. Any other check-ins or rechecks for right now, please call in us 7-0, over.
Good evening. From King Abel 3, Boston, Mary Sugar.
Well, good evening, sir, and I recognize that you're coming through NNA. Abel, Mary Sugar, and I think it was 3WP3AMS. Maybe you can give us your call again, and thank you for dropping by the TIN, and over to you. This is NO70, over.
NO70 from King Abel 3, Boston, Mary Sugar.
King Abel 3, Boston, Mary Sugar, NO70, and thank you for being here. Welcome to the Cybersecurity and Critical Infrastructure, TIN. Let us know any thoughts or comments you may have. Back to you. Over.
I have neither. Thank you, KA3BMS.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for checking in with us, and thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate your attendance. Any other check-ins or rechecks, please call NO70. Over. All right, nothing heard. Well, let's continue down the list here. Gordon was just talking about, of course, the equipment and securing routers and firewalls and so forth. You know, equipment configuration must be carefully planned for current and future operations according to FCC regulations and good station practices as well. So this equipment may be, but is not limited to, the following critical cyber infrastructure: our desktop computers used to control RF circuits and do web research, laptops for portable operations and doing the same. It also includes your router for your ISP connections, in addition to other equipment that's attached. Now, Gordon covered the need already to use admin accounts only when necessary. This also applies to your router. Your router is a computer. It has an admin account, and that's a security risk. You want to probably set up an alternative admin account. Let me reset. And your router, which you use perhaps with a cell phone Echo Link or All-Star Link or other link, you're maybe going in Wi-Fi to your router, which means that your Wi-Fi is going to have an SSID, you know, the name that you've assigned to your router Wi-Fi signal. There is a major search engine company that has roving equipment, cars that survey streets, and people didn't know that they also were surveying SSIDs and making a map of where SSIDs were physically located. They had to pay a fine for that and issue an apology. But as a part of the court case, they were able to persuade that, the courts that it was legal for them to do that, but they also had to provide a way for people to opt out of that. So when you set up your SSID, if you append to your SSID the following letters, underscore, underscore, N-O-M-A-P, no map, underscore, underscore, no map. The no map tells their roving equipment not to include your Wi-Fi information in their online accessible database. Let me reset. And for that, so that will help to protect your location information, which could be used against you and by some malware or hostile actors. Secondly, choose an SSID that will make it hard to guess your location. For example, give only a state name, not a city. Never put a street address in. Third, for your SSID, no call signs, place names, affinity, pride, no things like the great town of Elm City or something. And that is a great town, as I've been there. It's a nice place, but it's a small place, and you don't want to be too far out there. Also, keep your SSID clean. No potty talk, please. No sexually harassment or innuendo or hazing of a neighbor's intrusive Wi-Fi signal. There have been Wi-Fi signal SSID feuds where one person did not like another person's SSID. Thankfully, I'm not aware of this happening where there are any amateur operators involved, but they got into an SSID naming feud that was not pretty, to say the least. Let me reset. No out-of-town messages. You know, hide the SSID instead, or disable the Wi-Fi signal if you need to keep a nice, respectable, because as operators, you know, we don't want to be giving false identification information. Let me reset again. On your router SSID and your Wi-Fi login, when you use the password, do use a password. Make it a secure connection. Make the password difficult to guess and use secure encryption on your Wi-Fi signal. Also, if you're going to have any guests in the shack or in your home or in your car, have a guest account set up on the Wi-Fi router for visitors to your property. Never share your own account. This makes it easier for you to defend in court in case a visitor accesses illegal or compromising websites like we were talking about earlier that can reflect poorly on you or put you at risk for some consequences that you do not deserve. Good SSID choice is as important to computer security as other suggestions we have made tonight. Any thoughts, comments, please call in 070, over. Nothing heard. So we're going to have Paul take a little closer look at how to get along with our Internet service providers. Paul, N1SEZ, N070.
N070, N1SEZ, George. SSID naming feuds. I'm totally amazed at the never-ending ability of people to create new ways to annoy and otherwise argue with each other over, not to mention taunt over things. That's just astonishing. I've never heard of that before. Thank you for that, George. Okay, Internet service providers. Internet service provider equipment maintenance patterns affecting our station operations have led to some lessons learned. Lessons learned. Verizon had an internet outage in Western Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania November 5th that affected broadcast and internet-based digital stations. When ISP repairs are required, such as replacing boards or infrastructure, internet service providers tend to do the work replacing defective equipment or components in overnight hours. So if you plan to operate using digital methods or computer support at night, there is a greater risk to station operations. Let me drop it. 9/11 readiness challenges us as volunteer critical resources include adequately supplied and operational generators and fuel shortage after disasters. It's important to have a generator to keep equipment running so that we can perform these services in these type of situations. And the generators will not work if we don't have adequate fuel for them. And we need to be aware of the possibility of equipment damage. Third-party routers add a layer of protection that add to the expense and maintenance and upkeep. Risks and risk reduction practices must be routinely applied to all ISP equipment. Plan ahead for unexpected ISP equipment replacement. Batteries, terminal equipment like an ONT, optical network terminal, or ISP routers. So, anybody have any comments or additional thoughts on that? Please call now, N1SEZ.
N070, come in.
Okay, George, welcome back.
Well, within the past couple of years, a well-known internet provider responsible for providing 911 services to governments in the state of Virginia, kind of north to northwestern Virginia, had within year or two of operations, not one but two cases where 911 went down because their generators failed after a natural disaster for lack of fuel, and where they had not properly checked the generators for fuel levels or kept track of fuel consumption. So 911 went down and one time, and they were so slow on the response that the second time they got in real trouble with the 911 infrastructure, and that was a couple years ago in Virginia. N1SEZ, N070.
Okay, George, well, thank you for that. And yeah, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? In an emergency situation, certainly more serious than, let's say we have a sudden unexpected snowstorm in Connecticut weeks before Thanksgiving, and, I don't have gas for my snowblower. Well, that's a problem for me, but having 911 services go down and no way of bringing them back up, that's a bigger problem. Thank you, George. Anybody else?
Six, Victor.
Okay, Gordon, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Paul, you had me smiling and chuckling a little bit here in the background. Trying to communicate with your ISP. Have you ever had the pleasure of calling their technical department and trying to convince them that they've got a problem and they keep telling you it's on your end, Paul? Over.
As a matter of fact, Gordon, that has happened to me, I believe, on more than one occasion and with more than one provider.
All right. Good show. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have a comment to make before we continue? All right. Well, just to quickly follow up on that, Gordon, I had a situation with a provider where I had a two-year contract with them. And basically, without going into the details, the bottom line was that I ended up proving to them that the issue was not on my end. And when they couldn't get things to work properly, I was released from my obligation on the contract. So there you go. All right. And with that, folks, we're going to hand it over to Gordon for him to give us the international perspective of these types of things. Gordon, welcome back, N1SEZ.
Thank you, Paul. I think we could all probably write a book about communication with our ISPs. I've got a lot of stories I could tell, too. Thank you, sir. International perspective, ladies and gentlemen. KY6V here. Web browsing is an important and critical part of today's station operations and license maintenance. I think we all agree with that. And station research is performed to be aware of changes of FCC regulations and software vendor best practices and updates. Personal research is done in support of normal station operations, such as topics covered in a rag chew or on-the-air conversations, pre-purchase research before buying station equipment or upgrades, critical infrastructure purchases, such as utility payments, shelter or rent, or mortgage payments, banking, food delivery, boy, it goes on, during periods of intense or emergency station operation. And this is especially when multiple operators are present in the station. Tracking of your web browsing is widespread and unavoidable, I'm sorry to say. There are authorized tracking operations such as those necessary for secure browsing, such as banking, websites, or purchase histories of online vendors. Both electronic and critical infrastructure purchases required that may be repeated. There are also unauthorized tracking malware, and examples of those would include geolocation without permission, sites visited list without permission, cookies. Boy, we could talk forever about cookies. First and second party cookies are usually required for a modem website to work. Third-party cookies are rarely needed, although some websites refuse to work without them because their websites want to gather your information in blunt terms. Let me buy a nickel here for a second. We go on and say, you know, look-alike web pages can trick you into divulging sensitive sign-in names and passwords. Website traffic diversions can send you to a look-alike website that is filled with malware, bootware, or viruses, as well as trackers and cyberware and so on and so forth. Digital assistant devices, intrusions into your station and home life, such as those sold by major online retailers. continuously monitor your home audio. You're just in trouble no matter what we do, guys and gals. Web camera activation can occur without your permission. I want to stop on that one for a moment and tell you I've turned off my camera and I've got a nice decorative cover that sits over my camera so the camera lens can't see through the cover. Let me buy a nickel. Okay, consumer habit monitoring present and future is planned by manufacturers and services. An example of planned intrusion monitoring are unauthorized videotaping of a ride-sharing service ride when you may be recorded using your handheld. Think about that one. And divulge third-party traffic without knowing it in violation of FCC regulations. An example of future intrusions was observed with a major automotive manufacturer. I remember this one coming up in the news. Tracked the radio listening habits of 90,000 drivers. And you can take that story further and know what they were doing with that. So, I'm going to turn it over to George and let him poke some more holes in that. NO70 from KY6V.
KY6V in the South Car is Cybersecurity, Critical Infrastructure, TIN, NO70. You know, and I also want to underscore something you said earlier, too, about personal research being done to support station operations. All of us have been to a field day, and can you imagine not having the internet available at field day when you have more than one operator, like multiple operators at the field day website? Try doing that without food and beverage available at the field day exercise. It's definitely an operational issue. All right, with that comment being said, anyone else have any comments before we go back to N1ACZ regarding how to detect some of this stuff on your equipment? Any comments or rechecks or check-ins, NO70?
Just checking in, KB9EWG.
Well, good evening, David. Thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate it. And congratulations on your TIN last month and the hard work that all of you put into that. Thank you for being here tonight. Any other check-ins or rechecks before we continue in NO70? All right, well, we certainly see that we are going to be using websites and international websites and having to be aware of geolocations and tracking as a part of a station operations. So we're talking about detection and hardware and software. Well, for more on detection software, let's go back to Paul in 1SEZ. Over to you, Paul, in 070.
Well, thank you, George. Well, hackers use unauthorized changes to or installation of multiple tools to compromise your computer security and station operations. And some examples of these types of things are firewall changes, physical and logical changes that compromise or lock out the station licensee from proper control of RF and digital emissions. Imagine that. Compromise of virus detectors by disabling or counterfeiting virus signature files used by reputable antivirus vendors. And unauthorized installation of malware such as botware, trojans, keystroke loggers, and during an intrusion to hide the hacker's activity using increased destruction of logs during the actual hacking event to cover the tracks of the hacking incident. One of the interesting things in that list is keystroke loggers, and I think Gordon might remember many years ago, Bill, VE3MEW, was describing to us a piece of software that he used to encrypt his keystrokes when he was typing on the computer for that very purpose, so that had he been compromised, his keystrokes would just be producing nonsense to someone who might be tracking the keystrokes on his keyboard. So Bill, as anybody who knows Bill would not be surprised, was way ahead of his time and our local Renaissance man, and we miss him. So anybody else have any comments before I hand it back to George? Okay, nothing heard. George, why don't you take us in for the home stretch, N1SEZ.
Thank you, Paul. And we're going to be calling for final check-ins, rechecks, and thoughts in just a moment. So please be thinking of what you would like to say or tell us what you have learned tonight that you didn't know before. I think I heard mention made of dueling SSIDs. That was you as well. Yeah, that one took me far and aback, too. All right. We're now going to wind down this TIN with final thoughts and questions and answers from anyone and conclude with final thoughts from our moderators. Anyone wishing to check in or comment, please call now with your comments or questions and answers. So this is NO70.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
And that recognizes KB9EWG. Thank you, David. Over to you, NO70.
I just want to say thank you to you and everybody else for a fine, informative, very informational TIN. Thank you once again from KB9EWG.
Well, thank you, David. I think this is a good... good crew, both visitors and those checking in. And special kudos to Chief W4FJ, who braved 3 hours of traffic and still kept alive and demonstrated to us the value of being safe during a trip and keeping body and soul together and preserving our number of radio operators here, as well as everyone visiting here tonight. All right, so here's how we're going to handle the conclusion then. N1SEZ is going to fill in for Chief by giving us 6 types of cyber attacks to be prepared for. KY6V will then come in with any final thoughts about modern agricultural and industrial risks to our having the raw materials of electronics, food, clothing, and shelter necessary for station operations. He has been very involved with agriculture in Michigan lately, and it might have some thoughts that he could share with us, as well as other supply chain. And as a RF engineer, he's had to deal with procurement and so forth, and is very knowledgeable about this. N1ACZ will have final thoughts about station safety, and then I'll come back with a couple of final thoughts about being a good cyber citizen that can then lead to improved station operating and technical practices. Just a couple final thoughts. One of those in particular I want to mention coming up. So let's go down the list. N1ACZ for six types of cyber attacks. Easier for me to not say. N1ACZ, NO70. Over.
Okay, George, the 6 types of cyber attacks to be prepared for. Number 1, ransomware. Company I work for has suffered this twice now, so I don't think our IT people are up to snuff. Number 2, Internet of Things. Number 3, social engineering and phishing. Number 4, cracking. Number 5, man-in-the-middle attack. And number 6, specific web design software attacks. Those are the 6. Gordon.
Well, thank you, Paul. KY6V here again. I think we have covered a lot this evening, and all of us have probably a lot to think about. I think the main thing here is for all of us to keep our eyes and ears open, wear suspenders and a belt, and keep things security tight. I think that goes without saying. If you become involved with emergency communication, try to have yourself backed up with additional equipment and supplies. Plan for the worst, hope for the best type thing. And do I send it back to you, Paul? My goodness gracious. You must be getting paid twice here tonight. N1SEZ, apparently you have some more finals? Over.
Yes, Gordon, I'm making overtime. Double my normal rate. And that's true. So, final thoughts about Safety Station? I really don't have anything that I prepared for this other than to say that when we were speaking about the Safety Station and the types of hazards you face, including physical, it's just important to keep in mind that you need to keep your systems up to snuff. You have to be aware of potential problems with the electronics that you're using, including the conductors and the voltage that's supplying your station. And you need to do all these key things, taking care of the possible physical hazards to yourself, your family, and your home, and your station in particular, because as a member of the amateur community, your station is an important part of emergency communication and supports your community that way, being part of that tiny little subset of the community that has the ability to help out when it hits the fan, as it were. With that, I'm going to throw it over to George, and who looks like he will be closing it out. NO70, thank you so much for allowing me to participate tonight. I've enjoyed it. And over to you, N1SEZ.
Thank you, Paul. I do have a couple concluding thoughts for this South Cars November 2018 Cybersecurity and Critical Infrastructure and Resilience, TIN. Resilience being, are we able to take stresses and still maintain good control and operations? And that's what this is all about. And thank you, all of you gentlemen, for helping to put that into perspective and looking a little deeper into it so that we have some good thoughts. My thoughts, too, are in your station, buy a shredder, a paper shredder. And when you get these mailings with your name on it, and check inside magazines where they've printed your name in the middle of the magazine on a postcard reply. Rip that postcard. Look for that postcard in the middle of that magazine. There's one organization that has that every year. I've contacted them many times in downtown D.C. and said, this is a risk to have my name printed in the middle of a magazine when I don't always know to look for it on a postcard. Why are you printing my name in the middle of a magazine? I go in every month and pull the thing out and shred it. Let me reset. And, of course, that's in addition to the address on the front of the magazine. For your station operations, make sure that you have good notes, research, prototype, equipment interconnection schematics, and notes about your station. Do you have a station operations manual that detail what you do and how you do something? Maybe you do help out with South Cars, with other organizations, with special faults or educational things. And you may not do it for a few months. Then go back to your operations manual and see what type of formatting is needed, what's expected, what you need to do to prepare for it. How do you look up, or where do you go to find the FCC websites, the Universal Listing Service, or whatever service you use for license lookups? All of you have some procedures that you use, and they may be second nature, but have you documented them in a station operations manual? Why is this important? Let me reset. None of us knows what the future holds for any of us. I keep a station operations manual because who knows, 5, 10, 15 years from now, if I suffer an adverse life event where I may have an impaired memory, then I may be able to use a station operations manual to help me reconnect with my hobby and reconnect with other memories and maybe come out better at the other end compared to not having some memory joggers along the way. And, of course, having the equipment interconnection schematics and notes will allow me to rebuild the station in case of an event like flooding, theft, or whatever might happen. And make no mistake about it, amateur radio stations are stolen, which gets back into station security and physical security, and if you happen to be sitting there when it happens, operator and personal security. So, now we've been looking at security, and like anything, there has to be a moderation and awareness. We're not trying to scare you. We are trying to get you to think and be self-aware. And that's what I would like to say is the takeaway. Think, be aware, take care of your neighbors, take care of yourself, and be a good citizen, as we have talked about all night tonight. And thank each and every one of you who have checked in to the TIN. The fact that you've been here and invested yourself means that you are good citizens. Let me reset. And also good operators. All right. So congratulations. Let me open it up again for any other check-ins, rechecks, farewells you may want to say, or for the podcast that would be posted. To any other comments, thoughts, please call now. This is NO70.
H.A.
K2HA, thank you, Fred. NO70, over.
Well, thank you all for putting all the work in on this, many, many hours, and I greatly appreciate it. Well done. One thought. The gentleman who trained me up in Alaska, who worked for NOAA for computer security, one of the things that he did for himself, and he still does that, he lives in Florida now, he keeps all his software in a safe, cataloged, and so he makes copies of his own software, and but the originals are all in a safe. Okay. This is Fred, K2HA. Thank you again.
Thank you, Fred. Yes, I have to agree. I'm certainly not perfect on backups either. And there are things that even I myself have recommended tonight that I could do better on as well. And I'm impressed with the fact that he has a safe with that installed. And tonight I've been reminded by our fellow operators of things that I do need to be more aware of. Chief, being stuck in traffic for 2.5-3 hours, the fact that he was able to keep himself safe and was aware to do that. There are just so many comments that have been made tonight, and the risks to our infrastructure and our agriculture and our industrial manufacturing processes. I've learned a lot too as well with hearing what people had to say tonight, so I want to thank everyone as well. Alright, with that, I'm going to open up one last time for any of the check-ins or rechecks before we close the net. Please call NO70 on this South Corridor's TIN for November 2018 Computer Cyber Security Critical Infrastructure. Last call for check-ins, NO70. Nothing heard. I want to thank all of our check-ins, and including via K3BMS in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, via RF. Thank you for the RF presence on this digital platform of EchoLink and AllSir, a perfect illustration of how all this works together. And I want to acknowledge all of the support, encouragement, participation, willingness to volunteer of all of our South Corridor's members and all those that have been kind enough to help present this information tonight. Thank each and every one of you. That said, this has been South Corridor's, the November 2018 TIN. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the scarsvoip.com website. The people participating tonight are those members that have checked in with comments and suggestions. The people that have been kind of the read scripts have been W4RFJ, N1ACZ, KY6V, and I thank each and every one of them for being there. And again, for all of those of you that checked in as well. I feel like we've had to go through a very fast time here tonight. It's been good. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your time. With that said, then we're now closing this VOAP session. My name is George. My call is N070, saying 73 to all. Closing this VOAP session, thank you for your participation. Please look for the posting of the podcast on scarsvoip.com within the next day or two. This is N070, clear, and returning the connections and networks to normal amateur operation. N070, clear.